This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome. Welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington. Coming up on Africa News Tonight.
Because he stood, or he's still standing, on three pillars: the economy, fighting corruption, and combating terrorism. So one of the pillars has been wobbled because of this latest report.
That's VOA's Peter Kloti on the possibility that the timing of the U.S. decision to blacklist Nigeria for alleged corruption could hurt President Buhari's re-election chances. Also, there is a call by the U.N. Special Envoy for the Great Lake Regions to allow more women to take part in politics and the other processes. And Cameroon's President Paul Biya celebrated his 86th birthday yesterday, with supporters organizing lavish parties and opponents calling on him to resign. We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight. Our top story: with Nigeria's presidential election looming, a stampede at the campaign rally for President Muhammadu Buhari left 15 people dead. An attack on a governor's convoy killed four. And a new poll shows sharp religious differences on the country's preferred candidates. The new Gallup poll showed 73% of Muslims approve of Buhari, compared with 26% of Christians. My colleague Paul Alexander spoke with VOA staffer Peter Kloti in Lagos on possible late-minute influences on Buhari's re-election prospects.
What is new is that Nigeria has been added to a blacklist of nations that pose global threats because of leniency regarding the controlling of financial activities of terrorists, as well as monitoring, which is by way of saying corruption. And some critics say that despite promises that he is fighting corruption, for such a report to be released today is a significant blow to President Muhammad Buhari's re-election chances, because he stood, or he's still standing, on three pillars: the economy, fighting corruption, and combating terrorism. So one of the pillars has been wobbled because of this latest report.
So do you think that this could actually have an influence on what was already expected to be a tight race?
It could play a role, particularly when President Muhammad Buhari, as many Nigerians will tell you, they see him as incorruptible. So for this report to come at this late in the game, it's really unclear if it will have any significant impact.
I understand that there have been a couple of tragic incidents, a deadly stampede and an attack on a convoy carrying the governor of Borno State.
Yes, the stampede happened, and the ruling All Progressive Congress expressed its condolences to the people who passed away. So was the main opposition, People's Democratic Party. They said it was unfortunate to have happened, and they blamed organizers for failing to provide adequate security to ensure that these supporters were protected. A majority of the supporters of the APC are in a sorrow mood. But when it comes to the Borno State, the opposition is raising alarm that he said President Muhammad Buhari, despite the government's claim that they have technically defeated Boko Haram, the constant attacks on Nigeria shows that they told the international community that they have succeeded, while they have failed to keep that promise that they made to Nigerians. So they said this is yet another indication that the government has not been truthful to the people of Nigeria, and that the terrorism is still ongoing, and that in order for them to help eradicate it, they might need, or they need to seek international help to help fight against these terrorists.
Anything else for today?
It is quiet now, despite reports of some tension across the country, and specifically here in Lagos.
That was VOA's Peter Cloete in Nigeria, speaking with VOA's Paul Alexander. The UN Special Envoy for the Great Lakes region is calling on countries in the troubled region to speed up efforts that allow more women to take part in political and peace processes. Said Jinnat was speaking in Nairobi yesterday after chairing a UN-led meeting aimed at empowering women as leaders and peacemakers in the conflict-prone region. From Nairobi, Ruben Chama reports.
The meeting brought together women leaders, diplomats, campaigners, and representatives of the civil society from countries in the Great Lakes region, including Rwanda, Burundi, Democratic Republic of Congo, and the Central African Republic. The envoy says there is a peaceful transition in the Democratic Republic of Congo and a peace deal signed between the government and armed groups in the Central African Republic present important opportunities to integrate women and make their voices heard.
We hope that in the DRC, as now emerging from this peaceful electoral process, we hope that the women will take the right seat in the structures in government in that country. And as you have heard from Central African Republic, the Minister of Gender is poorly equipped in terms of resources. All that has to do with the kind of culture that unfortunately puts the woman as a second or third rank in the decision making, while we want to put women together with men on equal footing to take decisions on both on political processes but also on economic development.
In 2000, the United Nations passed a landmark resolution recognizing the importance of women's contributions to conflict prevention and peace building. Jinnat says women can make a huge difference in sustainable peace efforts.
More often than not, women and children are a victim of conflicts, but they could become a very powerful tool and instrument to try to make to seek peace in the region. That's why we from the United Nations, we are promoting all the women platforms and forums to try to get them involved in the search for lasting peace in the Great Lakes region.
With greater involvement in the resolution of deadly conflicts that affect their lives, participants said women can flourish and contribute to sustainable peace. Florence Bokolo is a peace campaigner from the Democratic Republic of Congo, a country that has been ravaged by civil war.
What we need is to get more participation of women at decision-making. We are not enough represented at decision-making level. There is challenges of money. We don't have enough money to get involved in fighting against all forms of violence done to women and children, mostly young girls.
Liberata Mulamula is a Tanzanian diplomat who took part in a mission to Burundi and Central African Republic to assess the security situation in the two countries and the impact on women and children.
The purpose of the mission was to raise awareness among political leaders of the need for women's participation in democratic processes and social economic development, and finally to bring attention to the issues of sexual and gender-based violence and the abuse against women and the need for accountability and measures to address human rights violations.
In November last year, countries in the Great Lakes region committed to speed up efforts aimed at increasing women's representation in political and peace processes, but slow implementation of the commitment by member states remains a serious challenge. Ruben Chama for VOA News, Nairobi.
In developed countries, it seems like there's a pricey coffee shop on every corner, but in the developing countries that produce the wide range of tasty beans, Many farmers can't afford to buy a cup of what they produce, while the big coffee trading companies and the shops cash in. So, farmers are appealing to the International Coffee Organization to increase the price of fresh beans. The problem is that higher wages could end up pricing farmers out of business instead of pulling them up from poverty. It was a major topic of discussion at the 17th African Fine Coffee Conference and Exhibition in Rwanda this week. Eugene Uimana attended the conference and has this report.
An average Rwandan farmer gets about 150 Rwandan francs, or 16 US cents, per kilo of fresh beans. In coffee shops, a cup starts at 1,800 Rwandan francs, or $2 US dollars, and top brands can bring several times that much. According to the World Bank, more than 60% of Rwandan farmers live on less than $1.25 per day. This immediately excludes coffee farmers from the hordes of coffee-thirsty drinkers. Murekatete Virginie has cultivated coffee for 25 years, but she says a farmer still doesn't get much income compared with the investment, which includes her arms and time. We don't get enough money from our sweet. Coffee requires a lot of energy. The money we get simply helps us for our daily bread, but it can't make you rich. But if the leaders at least increase the price, a farmer can get something. Though the farmer's income is said to be insufficient, many farmers also say they can use their income to build a home, educate their children, or buy other materials they need. Kitu Uza Uluma is from Uvira in Democratic Republic of Congo. This seed amazes so much. The coffee helps us, like women who were down and now lifted economically by coffee. Coffee associations are clearly aware of the situation. Ishak Lukenge is the board chairman of the African Fine Coffee Association. He admits urgent measures have to be taken for the farmers' betterment.
Yeah, I would love to see the similar smiles on the faces of the farmers. And that can only happen if the farmer gets the right price for the for his or her coffee.
José Sete, the executive director of the International Coffee Organization, pledged to take the poverty of farmers seriously, though the paths out of poverty seem to be difficult to reach.
So we have to explore ways to act together to find manners in which producers can find a better remuneration. And this is not an easy task. There is no one silver bullet, one magical solution, but we are exploring various ways, especially trying to establish a dialogue with the roasting industry to find a way in which farmers can be better remunerated.
According to the Rwanda Development Board, coffee as a commodity has continued to play a leading role in the national economy, contributing for 8% of its agriculture exports. On average, coffee exports in Africa have increased in the last 5 years. Ethiopia is the leading African producer, followed by Uganda, Cote d'Ivoire, Madagascar, Tanzania, and Kenya. However, Africa's share of global production has declined from a high of 28.3% in the 70s to its current low of 12%. Experts say if serious measures to remunerate farmers well are not taken, coffee production may continue to shrink. Eugene Wimana for VOA News, Kigali, Rwanda.
Cameroon's President Paul Biya celebrated his 86th birthday yesterday, with supporters organizing lavish parties and opponents calling on him to resign. Biya is the oldest president in sub-Saharan Africa and one of the longest serving, but critics say his long rule has put the country in a bad position. Moki Edwin Kinzeka reports from Yaounde.
Supporters of Cameroon's President Paul Biya wished him a happy birthday Wednesday at a party attended by thousands in the capital Yaounde. Fadimatu Iyawa Usmanu is president of Cameroon's National Youth Council. She says they burst in Biya's young supporters from all over the country to show respect and gratitude.
You can see more than 2,500 Cameroonian young people that came to celebrate that birthday. And we came here to say to the head of state, we are willing to work with him. We are encouraging him for what he's doing for the Cameroonian young people and to promote our patriotic and civic behavior so that we can help in the building of a peaceful Cameroon.
While supporters wished him divine guidance and a long life, he did not attend the celebration at the Yaounde Conference Center. He organized a private and reportedly lavish birthday party at his home village of Vomika in southern Cameroon. While Biya's supporters celebrated, the opposition Renaissance Movement Party held a protest march in Yaounde, calling on Biya to resign and for their leader, Maurice Kamto, to be freed. Kamto, who claims Biya stole the October 7 presidential election, is under arrest and facing charges, including rebellion for protesting the election results. Kamto supporter Clement Mitsuge says he has known only one leader, Biya, since he was born. He condemned the large birthday celebrations for the president.
We have constrained economically in Cameroon to deal with Boko Haram. Our resources are not even enough for us to manage. All of us are sensitive about the fact that, you know, it's not just about his willingness to be in power. It's also about the performance, his age and everything. There's need for change, and Cameroonians are thirsty for that change.
In 2008, Biya revised the constitution to remove presidential term limits. Critics called the move authoritarian and have long accused his government of rigging elections, allegations that officials deny. University of Yaounde political analyst Christophe Tiontu says Biya has ruled with an iron fist for too long.
Après analyse, le Cameroun est entré depuis quelques années.
Cameroon is plunging into an indescribable chaos with incoherent governance and democratic practice, says Tiontu. Faced with these challenges, he says, and while craving for a change and an end to domination by one man, people are distancing themselves from moves by Biya and his followers that go against Cameroon's interests. If something should happen to the 86-year-old president, says Tiontu, Cameroon may face a very difficult transition. While the constitution stipulates new elections, if the office of president becomes vacant, Biya is not known to have prepared a successor. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaounde.
The lives of some patients with chronic illnesses in Zimbabwe are in danger as drug prices continue to soar. Pharmacies are charging in US dollars, which puts medicines beyond the reach of most people. Rutende Mawiri reports from Harare.
Frank Masina is a 68-year-old retiree with diabetes and hypertension. He says that without a steady income, he sometimes resorts to just taking his diabetes drug and not his blood pressure medicine, since he can no longer afford to buy all the required medicines.
To cover all the medicines for BP, sugar, and cholesterol, I would require about $32, which I can't manage. And that kind of money, I can't get it. I'm failing to acquire those medicines. Sometimes I have to reduce the list and just buy BP pills only.
With pharmacies charging American dollars for drugs, Masina says he can no longer use his prepaid medical aid to get drugs as he was doing a few months ago.
And it was a bit better a few months ago when my medical aid was acceptable in the pharmacies and they could give me drugs under the drug facility of the medical aid. But since the past 3 months, I've been failing to acquire all the required medicines for these chronic illnesses.
Civil servant Lucy Amoyo has hypertension, arthritis and gout. She says since her salary is paid in bond notes, she can't get dollars to pay for her drugs.
We are given prescriptions by the doctors, but the pharmacies are charging US dollars. I'm a civil servant. I earn bond notes, but I am charged in US dollars, which I do not have. You end up asking for help from relatives outside the country to buy drugs, which should not be the case. Government should intervene as lives are being lost.
Victor Dube, who also suffers from hypertension and diabetes, says he has gone for 2 weeks now without taking his medication.
In the first place, I have no confidence in them in solving these issues because everything is around them. Being able to supply foreign currency to companies that import or that manufacture drugs.
Dr. Crispin Ngwenya warns that scrimping on medicines can be dangerous.
If, say, a patient doesn't take medication is prescribed or the default, then if they stop taking medication, they start developing complications. These complications develop over a long period of time. Some develop acutely.
Dr. Henry Madzorera, who is also a former Minister of Health, says the problem of people skipping their medicines or not taking proper doses is the result of poor governance.
And pharmacists are simply charging in US dollars so that they can restock their shelves so that medicines can continue to be available. What we want to do is to urge the government to make Forex available to the pharmaceutical industry, because health is more important than most of the other things that government is availing Forex for.
The current Minister of Health, Obadiah Moyo, told Parliament last week that the government cannot legally bar pharmacists from charging in US dollars because dollars are part of the basket of currencies the country uses. He said it would be ideal for institutions to charge in bond notes traded on the electronic real-time gross settlement system. Reporting for VOA from Harare, this is Rutendo Mawere.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehiye Suhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports coming up at 18:30 UTC. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, Calvin Fowler, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
This is Peter Clote of VOA Africa. I am in Nigeria to cover the general election. Listen to my daily reports when you tune in to our news shows. Africa News Tonight, Daybreak Africa, Nightline Africa, and International Edition for the latest from Lagos.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hey, sports fans, brighten your day by tuning into the sunny side of sports Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny and on Twitter at VOA Sunny Sports. Or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. It's the sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.